Okay, let's pick up with the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We left off Ularava. So we're 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Middle of the line, Ularava. And just a quick recap. We are trying to explain the following halacha. The Mishnah says that someone who brings a get as a shliach for someone else, and the get was written in Chutz Laaretz, and he brings it, let's say, to Eretz Yisrael to deliver to the man's wife. So the Mishnah requires the shliach to state that he saw the get written and he saw the get signed. And Rav explained the reason why the shliach coming from Chutz Laaretz has to tell Beis Din that he saw the get written and signed is because we're worried that if in, let's say, some future time, the husband should show up in Beis Din and claim the get was forged, we're not going to be able to necessarily track down the witnesses to verify the authenticity of the get. So for that reason, when the shliach comes, we tell him, you know what, before anything, you verify the authenticity of the get, you tell us that you saw it written, you tell us you saw it signed, so that we know the get was really written on the orders of the husband. And that way, even if at some later date the husband should come back and try to cause trouble by saying that I didn't order the get being written, I had to get the forged, the get, it's not my get, we're not going to believe him anymore because the shliach already told us, no, I saw the husband give the order to write the get, I saw the eidim sign the get, it was all done properly, it's not forged, and therefore we no longer have to worry about the husband coming and claiming later on that it's a forgery, that the get is not authentic. Okay, so that's what we're trying to explain now. Rava's opinion as to the reason why the shliach has to state that he saw the get written and he saw the get signed is because we want to ensure the husband cannot claim at some future date that the get is a forgery. So the Gemara says the following. Ularava de'amar lefi she'ein edim matsuyin lekaimo. According to Rava, who said, the reason why the shliach has to state the get was written and signed in his presence is because it's not always so easy to find the actual witnesses who signed the get. Should we need them to verify the authenticity of the get? And therefore, since we're worried about finding them and their lack of availability, we tell the shliach that he should authenticate the get before he gives it to the wife. So the Gemara asks, if that's your concern, liboitre, you shouldn't rely on the shliach to say that the get is authentic. I saw it written, I saw it signed. You should require two Adam to come and say that I saw the get, that the get was written and signed properly. Why do you rely on the shliach who's only an Eidachot, who's only one individual, to come and say that the get is authentic? If this is a real concern that the get maybe is forged, you should require two Adam. So the Gemara says, Mida Dahava Akim Shtaras Da'alma. It should be like any other instance when we want to verify or authenticate any shtar, whenever there's a question as to whether a shtar is forged or not. So you always require two witnesses to come in to Beis Din and say, we recognize the signatures on this get. Right? The example, classic example is, I produce a shtar in Beis Din claiming that you owe me $1,000. It's a shtar that says that I lent you money and I want to collect the money from you now. And you claim the shtar is forged and never happened. So I have to prove it in Beis Din that it's authentic. How do I prove it? I have to bring in two witnesses to say, yeah, either we signed this shtar, halva'a, or two witnesses to say we recognize the Edom who signed this shtar halva'a. We recognize their handwriting. You always require two Edom to be mekayim a shtar, to authenticate a shtar. So why here is this get any different? So the Gemara goes to the same shakal of attire we mentioned previously. So the Gemara says, no, by get it's different because eid echad ne'eman bi'isurin. One aid is believed with regard to Issur v'Heter. Whereas when it comes to mammonis, when it comes to trying to force someone to pay, you require two aidim to verify that the person owes me the money. But when it comes to Issur v'Heter, when it comes to simply stating whether this food is treif or this food is kosher, like we said in the previous Gemara, we believe even one aid to tell me that this is usur or this is mutter. We saw Machlokas Rashi tells us what the source for that is. Rashi said that we know this is true because how do you trust anybody's kashrus? How can you trust anybody to say I shechted the animal? How can you trust anybody to say I took truma off of this fruit? We trust individuals because apparently eid echad is ne'eman bi'isur. That was Rashi's makor, Rashi's source for this halacha, that eid echad is ne'eman bi'isur. So the Gemara says that's why we believe this shliach to say that the get was written and signed in his presence, because an eid echad is ne'eman when it comes to iser beheter. So the Gemara then asks, Amar de amrinon eid echad ne'eman bi'isurin. When do we rely on just one witness to testify with regard to iser and heter? That's only kigon, for example, chaticha, when you have a piece of meat, safek shel chalev, safek shel shuman, you don't know if it's a forbidden piece of meat or if it's a permitted piece of meat. The lowest chazik isura, there never was a previously established status of iser, so then you rely on the eracha to tell you it's kosher, it's treif. Aval hacha, but here by this woman and her get, is chazik isura to eshes ish. We knew all along until this point that she was married. We know that up until now she's been married. She's an eshes ish. Heve dava shebe erva. And it's also something that relates to the iser of arayos of erva. And the halacha is ein dava shebe erva pachos mishnayim. That when it comes to arayos, you require at least two edim, or always require two edim to testify. So the Gemara says that get isha is not like iser veheter. Get isha, where we're dealing with a case where there's an already established chezkas iser. We already know that from previous days or months or years. She's married, and now you want to change that personal status of the woman. So then you can't just do it with one eid echad's say-so. And furthermore, says the Gemara, this is hadavar shebe'erva. This is not just regular kashrus. This is not just truma versus tevel, or Chelev versus Shuman. This is a very serious question of arayos, of an eshes ish. And when it comes to that, that's in a special category all unto itself that requires two edim, not just one. So the Gemara therefore reverts back to its original question, how could the Mishnah say that we believe one shliach, one individual, to state when he brings a get from Chutz La'aretz, that I saw the get written, I saw the get signed, don't worry, Beis Din, it's a kosher get, how could you believe the shliach has an eid echad? You should require at least two eidim to prove the authenticity of this get, just like you require two eidim to verify any shtar as authentic. That's the question the Gemara is asking on Rava. Okay, so here's where we have a very famous and very, very important Gemara that relates to the underlying yesod of shtaros in general in halacha. And the Gemara says the following. This is the famous and critical Gemara. The Gemara says, in answering this question, as follows. Bidinhu debekiyum shtaros nami loliboy. In truth, the Gemara says, when it comes to verifying the authenticity of any shtar, it could be a shtar hava that says that you owe me $1,000. It could be a shtar mecha that says that you sold me your field. Or a shtar matana that says you gave me your car. When it comes to, and you're denying it. I never gave you the car. I never sold you the field. I never borrowed the money from you. And now Basin says to me, okay, you have to verify the authenticity, the truthfulness of this shtar. So the Gemara says the truth is that, strictly speaking, when it comes to being mekayim, to verify the authenticity of any shtar, loli boy, I shouldn't need to do it. The fact that I produce a shtar signed by two witnesses should be sufficient for me to be believed. Why on earth is that true? So the Gemara says, k'dereish lakish, like Resh Lakish said. D'omar Resh Lakish said, Eidim hachasumim al hashtar, Eidim who are signed on a shtar, na'asu k'misha nechkara edusan bebeizdin. It is as if they have already been interrogated and investigated. Their testimony has been, I guess, cross-examined, you would say, in Beis Din. Meaning, even though all Beis Din sees is a shtar signed by two edim, I walk into Beis Din with a shtar that says that you owe me $1,000, and signed by two witnesses who you don't know, Beis Din doesn't recognize them, and I don't bring them in with me. Resh Lakish is saying that min hatar, that's all I need to be able to collect the money from you. Min hatar, a shtar that's signed by two witnesses, it's as if the testimony that this shtar presents to us, it's as if the Edom who signed on this shtar have already been cross-examined and approved by Beis Din. And I should never need Kim Shtaros. It's just that, says the Gemara. V'rabbanan hu da'atzruch. The entire notion of kiyum shtaros, that when a shtar's authenticity is challenged by one party, so the baal hashtar, the person producing the shtar, has to prove its authenticity by bringing an edim, either the edim who signed the shtar or edim who recognized the signatures on the shtar, that entire requirement of kiyum shtaros is only required midrabbanan. And since that's the case, says the Gemara, v'hacha mishum iguna akilu barabbanan. And therefore, here, where we're dealing with a get, and we want to allow this woman to remarry, we don't want to cause her problems, we're going to be mekel, we'll say, well, since anyways min ha-Torah, the get is kosher with the edim that are signed on it, it's only midrabbanan that we normally require verification of the get. So here Rabbanan said, we'll relax our usual requirements, in the interests of allowing this woman to remarry, we'll believe even just one shliach to say the get is valid. Okay, so this is a very critical Gemara. The Gemara is saying that the Mehatorah, shtaros are kosher without any outside verification. Just they themselves are sufficient to be valid in halacha in court. And it's just midrabbanan, we require outside verification of the shtar. But here, because of the concerns of this woman being in Aguna, her husband's hundreds of miles away, he finally sent a get to release her from the bonds of marriage. We wanted to be able to remarry. We'll go easy on her. We'll allow even one shliach to verify the authenticity of this get.
Why would the Torah have such a thing? Like, it's very easy to fake things.
Oh, good question. Now, you're saying, why is this din d'oraisa true?
Yeah, I'm saying, why is it so...
Why is it so easy to get away with a shtar? Is that you're asking? Is why do you believe a shtar? It's a good question. So Rashi apparently is troubled by that. Rashi says just four words. Rashi on this line in the Gemara, Nasa Kamisha Nechkara Edusim Bebeistin, Rashi says, Delo Chatzif Inish Lezayufe. That the reason why min HaTorah we accept the witnesses signed on a shtar as valid without requiring any outside verification of the witnesses or of the shtar is because a person doesn't have the impudence, the chutzpah, to forge signatures on a get or on a shtar. Here's Rashi's trying to answer your question. So what's Rashi saying though? He's saying that it seems like there's an assumption that a person, generally speaking, would not have the chutzpah to forge two signatures on a shtar. So what's Rashi saying? That every Jew has a cheskes kashrus, and therefore we don't suspect him of forging two signatures? Which is interesting, meaning if the guy himself walked in and claimed, you owe me $1,000 with no shtar to back it up, and the borrower in question says, no, I didn't borrow the money from you, we wouldn't believe the so-called lender. But now that he produces a document with two signatures signed on it, that gives him added backup to his claim, and we do believe in HaTorah.
It requires a lot to create a document and then also to forge the signatures, rather than just walking in and saying, okay, you owe me, X amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like going a bunch of steps forward just to claim money rather than...
So saying the extra steps involved gives us that comfort level of saying that a person's generally not going to go this far to forge a document and forge two witnesses on it. And if somebody produces such a document with witnesses, we can assume that in most cases this is a kosher shtar.
It seems like it doesn't require, it's any forged document. It doesn't have to be even so good.
I'm sorry?
The right, it doesn't have to be even a good forgery to be okay based on this.
Why? What do you mean?
I mean, just need to have any shtar.
Has to meet certain requirements. But in terms of once you have a shtar that has two witnesses signed on it, we're not going to assume that he actually forged the names and signatures of two witnesses that are on the shtar.
Also, a shtar is always out there. That if you put a false shtar,
right,
and you're opening yourself up that no matter what you could, and that someone can come and refute that, someone could say that that is not my signature. Whereas if you just say plain lie, I lent you money,
It is if you sign a real person's name to the shtar,
right,
then you're opening yourself up to that person coming up and saying, you're a liar, I never wrote this. But why aren't we concerned about someone making up a name?
Right.
Right. And
have to produce that person in court.
Well, we're saying that min haTorah you wouldn't have to. As we're saying min haTorah, a shtar that has two witnesses signed on it is kasher.
Maybe the statement in the person that puts for to do it is limited to where the person is using real people.
You're saying maybe only in a case where we know you're using real people's names, then we're going to say the shtar is kosher matar. But
or
if there's
a shtar coming out of a certain type of court, you know, used by the typical edim in that court.
I mean, the Gemara makes no distinctions. You know, it's a drashi. It seems like you have two a shtar with two edim signed on it. You know, I don't know. Is there an indication in the Gemara that it's daft if we know that these are the real names of people?
I think the person is still opening himself up because, like he says, like so-and-so from such a city, and someone else would be like, well, I'm from that city.
And there is nobody I know by that name.
Right. So
okay, so there still is some risk of exposure, you know, of being proven a liar, and that might be why Rashi says he's lo chatzif enish lazuve, because the fear of being exposed as a liar is enough to prevent him from doing anything of that nature, and therefore the fact that a person signs or has a shtar with two and is signed on it, we can assume that's. It's written by, signed by real two people. Okay. Good. All right. Fine. So let's pause here for a moment because this is a very, very famous Gemara. That the Gemara makes this assumes that min haTorah, any shtar, or any document that's signed by two witnesses is kasher. And the requirement for outside verification for kiyum shtaros is only a requirement midrabanan. So, I said last week we're going to look at the Rambam here in the Shev Chaim, famous Rambam and famous Shev Chaim on this issue. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidus Perek Gimel Halacha Dalad. Hilchos Eidus Perek Gimel Halacha Dalad says the following. The Rambam says, Din Torah, according to Torah law, She'ein Mekablin Eidus, we don't accept testimony, lo bedine mamonos, velo bedine nefashos, not by monetary issues, not by capital punishment issues, ela mipi ha'edim, we only accept edus from the mouth, from verbal testimony, shenemar, al pi shnayim edim, the pasuk says, al pi shnayim edim, that we establish truth in Beis Din on the basis of pi shnayim edim, on the oral testimony of two witnesses. From which we derive the halacha mipihem velo miksav yadon. Al pishna medim implies that you can only establish truth in halacha on the basis of oral testimony of witnesses, not on the basis of written testimony. Okay, mipihem velo miksav yadon. Okay, then, you know, the Gemara, for example, in Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes this halacha. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says, "Derachmana Amar mipihem velo mipiksavam." Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph. Torah says mipihem. You have to accept testimony from the oral testimony of witnesses, and not mipiksavam, not from the written testimony. Okay, you know, you can't send in a written statement and have that, you know, as a sworn affidavit, you know, in Beis Din when it comes to edus of dinei mamonos or edus of dinei nefashos. No such thing as sworn written statements. It's got to be oral testimony. However, then the Rambam says, that's min haTorah. Ava medivrei sofrim, but midrabanan, the halacha is no. Shechoschin dinei mamonos be'edus shebeshtar. Midrabanan, we do accept written testimony with regard to monetary issues, says the Rambam. Ava pi she'ein ha'edim kayamim, even though we don't have the edim here in person in Beis Din, still, we accept the testimony with regard to monetary issues, midrabanan, kedei shelo tino delas bifnei lavin, so that we shouldn't make it difficult for commerce and for lending practices. We want to encourage loans. We don't want to stifle the loan market, right? Credit crunch, it's not good. So, in order to encourage lending, we tell the lenders, don't worry, if you ever want to collect on your loan, you don't have to bring in oral testimony. You can bring in written proof. So what the Rambam says essentially is that although min haTorah there's no such thing as edus in writing, there's only oral testimony that's acceptable min haTorah, But midrabanan, when it comes to dinei mamonos, in order to encourage lending practices, we therefore allow proof of a loan in Beis Din that's written, shtar hava, document of loan, can be accepted in Beis Din as written proof of a loan to enable me to lend it to collect from the borrower, midrabanan, that is. That works on a midrabanan level. Okay, that is the sheet of the Rambam.
Yeah? Is a get considered dinei mamonos?
No.
Some other category.
I mean, it has, I guess indirect ramifications to mamonos, but it's get v'kedushin is not dinei mamonos per se. That's get v'kedushin, right?
So
sorry.
Only nowadays.
Nowadays.
Focused on.
Well, kedushin is also, for that matter, for some, anyways. okay. Okay, right, but technically it's a separate category. Okay, why do you ask?
Well, because the Rambam says, I think, that we're that's something that we will honor a shtar with Edim and Dinei Mamonos, right? Wasn't that the language?
He says, Avam Edivrei Sofrim, Shechoschen Dinei Mamonos, we paskin Dinei Mamonos, Be'edus Shebeshtar, with the witness, with testimony in writing and documents.
So that doesn't necessarily mean, a get doesn't necessarily fall.
Right, correct. Right. Right.
He's completely contradicting what
the Gemara. Oh, that's right. So the Shach in Avos Shach, the Ramban as well, asks from our Gemara. The Shach is in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Chav Ches. It's in Hilchos Edus. Simen Chav Ches in the Shach, Sif Katan Yudalid. And the Shach says, the Gemara in the beginning of Gittin tells us explicitly that Min HaTorah, you don't need Kiyum Shtaros. Min HaTorah, a Shtar, in of itself is sufficient. It's Kamisha Nechkara Edusim Bebeistin. So, the Shach says, we see very clearly that Min HaTorah, even a get, the Gemara is saying in our Sugya, even a get is valid without Kiyum Shtaros. How could the Rambam say that Min HaTorah, you don't accept Edus in writing, only Midrabanan Yadu by Dine Mamanus? Our Gemara says explicitly that with regard to all shtaros, including get, because that's what our Gemara is talking about, a shtar is valid, min ha-Torah, without any Edim coming to Beis Din. The fact that I have Edim signed on a document is sufficient.
The vehicle for divorcing is through a shtar.
Very good, right. So the Ramban himself spells it out. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, which Reb Chaim quotes, Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvos in Shoresh Sheni raises this issue. Ramban here at the very end of his Hasagos on the Rambam's Shoresh Sheni and Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban says the following. Ramban says, he quotes this Rambam that Min HaTorah, you don't accept Edus in writing, only oral testimony. And the Ramban says, find the exact line here. And Ban says, "Ukvar heshivu olav chachmei hadoros bazet shuvos gemuros." The chachmei hadoros have already disproven the Rambam with clear proofs. He says, "Mehen." Some of those proofs are the following: "Shanu donin begitin beede chasima bilvad." When it comes to divorce, we accept proof of divorce with signed witnesses alone. For example, he says, "V'ha'isha hamotzia lefanenu get chasum." If a woman produces in Beis Din a signed get, mekaymin oso b'chosamav. All we do is we bring in witnesses to say we recognize the signatures on this get, and then we verify the get and we allow her to remarry. So what happens there? Who's testifying about the divorce? Right, a woman brings a get into Beis Din, has signed witnesses on it. Beis Din lahalacha will bring in two witnesses who recognize signatures on that get, and then they allow the woman to remarry. So on the basis of what is she remarrying? only because two witnesses say we recognize the witnesses signed on this get. So who in the at the end of the day is testifying about the divorce? Okay. The witnesses on the get, right? All we're doing is verifying that they are actual witnesses. Yes, this is Reuven ben Shimon's signature. Yes, this is Yosef ben Ephraim's signature. At the end of the day, who's testifying about the divorce? The Edom signed in the get are testifying about the divorce. So that proves, says the Ramban, that when it comes to get, we accept written testimony as proof.
So when Reish Lakish says in the Gemara, Edim achasumim bal hashtar nasim, that means Edim where someone came and recognized the signatures?
So in our Gemara, not even. Our Gemara is saying that even more than that. Our Gemara is saying that midaraisa,
just whatever.
You don't even need kiyum shtaros. Okay. You don't even need recognition of signatures. Even without it would be sufficient. Okay. However, the Ramban is saying that even the halacha, they do require kiyum shtaros, but at the end of the day, who's testifying about the divorce? It's the signed witnesses, right? As all we require through kiyum shtaros is to verify these are actual witnesses.
Don't have to investigate it.
Right, but once we know that they are actual witnesses, then we accept the testimony in writing that they signed in the get. Okay? So this is the Ramban's raya kasha against the Ramban. Shav Chaim here quotes that line in the Ramban. The line in the Ramban we just read was, once again, since he's going to talk about it in detail. The line in the Ramban we just read was that the raya against the Rambam is she'anu danin begitin be'edei chasima bilvad, that we deal with gitin on the basis of signed testimony on the get only. V'ha'isha ha'motzia lefaneinu get chasim, and a woman who produces a signed get in Beistin, mikaimen oso b'chosamav, we simply verify the signed witnesses on it. Umatiran osalahinase al pi edus hashtar, and we then allow it to remarry on the basis of those edim were signed on the get. So Chaim says the Ramban in that one line is asking two questions essentially. Reb Chaim is Hilchos Edus, Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. Says the Ramban in that one line is asking two questions. The first question he's asking is based on the first phrase that he writes, She'anu donin begitin be'edei chasima bovad. What that means is, says Reb Chaim, that we paskin that a divorce or a marriage requires edus in order to be effective. You can't divorce a wife or marry a woman without witnesses seeing the actual divorce or the actual marriage. And yet we know that you can be mekadesh a woman, you can marry a woman, not just by giving her something of value, but by giving her a shtar kedushin. And you divorce a woman by giving her a document of divorce. And according to one opinion in the Tanoim, and this is something that we've touched upon before, we'll have to get to a bit more in detail, Rav Meir is of the opinion that what is the critical testimony when it comes to a get, when it comes to Kedushin? It's not the Ede Mesira, the witnesses who see the transfer of the document, but rather, according to Rav Meir, the critical edus in a get is the Ede Chasima, the Edim who are signed on the get. They're the ones who are really causing this divorce to take effect, to be effective. And in fact, the Rambam himself, paskens like the Rif, that the halacha is, if a man writes a get and signs two witnesses onto the get, he brings two people to sign the get, and he then gives the get to his wife in private, without anybody else seeing. He gives her a get with only Edei Chasima, no Edei Mesira. He writes a get, he brings in two witnesses to sign it, he then goes into a private room with his wife only, gives her that get, no one saw it. The Rambam paskens like the Rif, that chasmu boshnayim v'avar v'nos nola beino leveino, if you sign two witnesses on a get and then you give it to her in private, it's a get kosher. Eide chasima alone are sufficient to make the divorce effective. So the first question the Ramban is asking Sefer Chaim is very simply, if you, Rambam, are of the opinion that Eide chasima, karsi, in the words of the Gemara, Eide chasima are sufficient to make a divorce effective by simply signing Edom on a get and then giving it to the woman. That's all you got to do, even if nobody witnesses the transfer of the get. So that means that you accept the validity of witnesses in writing. How else does this get effective? If we know that a get is not effective without witnesses, and yet you say, Rambam, that a get that has witnesses signed on it, that's delivered in private from husband to wife, is effective, that means you're accepting the signed witnesses on this get as being edus to the get. So how could the Rambam say that min ha-Torah, only oral testimony is acceptable and no written testimony is ever accepted min ha-Torah? If the Rambam himself paskins that when I hand my wife in private a get signed by two witnesses, that's sufficient for gerushin min ha-Torah. That's all I need to get kosher. How could that be? Apparently you're assuming that signed testimony when it comes to a get is sufficient. So then why do you tell me in Hilchos Eidos that you require verbal testimony? Hear the question? Question number one. And the second question, which the Ramban is asking, says Reb Chaim, is the case we just explained. When a woman wants to prove that she's been divorced already, and she comes into Beis Din with a get that she already received. So the procedure is that Beis Din says, okay, bring two witnesses who recognize the signatures on this get, and then you're allowed to remarry, because we then accept the signed testimony on the get as valid proof of your divorce, and now you can remarry. So there again, you're basing yourself on the signed witnesses and nothing more. So that's again proof that we do rely min ha-Torah on written testimony, even in the absence of any oral testimony. Okay, those are the two questions of the Ramban against the Rambam. How could Rambam say that min ha-Torah only oral testimony is acceptable when we see that when it comes to get, even written testimony is acceptable, both based on the fact that the Rambam accepts even a get delivered in private as a valid divorce as long as there are edim signed on the get, and by the fact that we accept get, a written get, as a proof of divorce by simply authenticating the signatures that are signed on the get. In both cases, we're relying on the Edom who signed the get, nothing more. That's written testimony. Okay? And the question then is, so why does Rambam say, on the basis of mipihem velo mipiksavam, that you never accept min ha-Torah edos in writing? Questions clear? The Ramban and the Rambam? Okay, so Reb Chaim says the following yisod. Says the following distinction. He says, this question is not really in the Rambam only, because as we pointed out, the Gemara itself in Gittin, Daf Ayin Aleph, says that when it comes to Eidus, Mipihem Velo Mipiksavam, the Gemara itself says that when it comes to testimony, testimony must be oral and not written. So Reb Chaim says, you know, you can't just ask the question on the Rambam. You have to work with the Gemara first and explain why the Gemara does not pose a problem for the very existence in halacha of a shtar. Right? Look at the Gemara, Dafayin Alef and Medav. The Gemara says, Mipihem, Velo Mipiksavim, smack in the middle of the page. So one liner.
Case?
What?
Is that a different case?
So it's, the Gemara says, tell the case right now. The Gemara says, let's tell you the case the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara says, the Braisa tells us that someone who's mute is not allowed to serve as witness. Okay? And the Gemara wants to prove from that if a mute person can't serve as a witness, that proves that written statements are never acceptable as indication of what a person's trying to say. So the Gemara asks, well, don't bring general proofs from mute people being invalidated from testimony with regard to whether we ever accept written statements as indications of a person's intention, because by witnesses, says the Gemara, the reason why a mute person in Elam can't testify is on the basis of this halacha, that mipihem velo mipi ksavam, that when it comes to witnessing testimony, you always have to give oral testimony, not written testimony. So the Gemara applies that idea of mipihem velo mipi ksavam to exclude someone who is mute from serving as an aid, as a witness. That's the context of the Gemara there. Okay, that's the context there. But the Gemara says it as a general rule with regard to testimony, that you have to testify orally, not in writing. So the question then really is based on the Gemara itself. Then how does the Gemara deal with the very existence of shtaros? If the Gemara says you never accept testimony in writing, only orally, so how does halacha recognize the existence of a shtar altogether with regard to anything? Any other question? Shem Chaim says, it's Pashat, he says, that Gemara, which requires that a witness offer oral testimony, does not contradict the very existence in halacha of shtaros. Why? So Reb Chaim says, shnei dinim heim, two separate halachos, two separate categories of law. One is, he says, edus biksav, is pasul. But the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Ayin Aleph is saying that I can't accept a written statement from someone who can't speak as testimony in court because mipihem velo mipi ksavim, I can only accept oral testimony. That, says Reb Chaim, is a halacha that simply states edus biksav is pasul. Edus in writing is not valid. On the other hand, when it comes to shtaros, that's a separate category of edus bishtar, and that's considered kasher. Okay, so he draws this distinction between edus biksav, which is pasul, and edus bishtar, which is kasher. Meaning, a guy who can't speak or doesn't want to speak, presumably, well, it's debatable, but let's say a guy who can't speak, who simply sends a written statement to Beis Din. Even two guys who can't speak, who send a written statement to Beis Din. That, says the Gemara, Reb Chaim explains, is edus biksav, testimony in writing, that's pasul. But when you're dealing with shtaros, that's a category unto itself. And edus bishtar, says Reb Chaim, that's kasher. Okay? Now, one second. Now, the Rambam says, So far we've said that edus bishtar is not the same as edus biksav. Edus biksav means two mute people see something happen, they send written statements to Beis Din. No, that's edus biksav. We don't accept it. It's possible. But when you have the format of a shtar signed by two witnesses, that already is a different category of halacha. Edus bishtar is acceptable. Now we're going to explain a little bit more in depth what that means. But that's the initial distinction Chaim makes. Edus biksav is possible. Edus bishtar is kosher. Okay, that's why Gittin is acceptable. So why does the Rambam say that shtaros don't work min ha-Torah? So says Reb Chaim, the Rambam agrees in principle that edus bishtar is kosher. But to answer the Ramban's question, here's what Reb Chaim says. He says the Rambam simply limits the application of edus bishtar, kosher. Because what qualifies as edus bishtar according to the Rambam? So Chaim says, the Rambam makes the following distinction. Remember the question we asked. Rambam says that min ha-Torah shtar doesn't work by dinin amamunis, dinin nefashos. Comes Ramban and asks, what do you mean min ha-Torah shtar doesn't work? Get works, kedushin works. That was Ramban's question. So Chaim makes the following distinction according to the Rambam. He says, the Rambam says that min ha-Torah shtar works if it's a shtar that's na'ase l'kinyan, if it's a shtar kinyan. What is a shtar kinyan? Shtar kinyan is what? A document that affects, that causes a transaction. A shtar mechira. Through the transfer of this document, the field becomes yours. A shtar matana. Through the transfer of this document, this car becomes yours. Or this watch becomes yours. or a get, or a kedushin. Through the transfer of this get, you become free to remarry. Through the transfer of this shtar kedushin, you become married to me. These are all shtars, documents that cause a transaction to take effect. That's a shtar kinyan. There's a transfer of something from one rishus to another. Okay, that's shtar kinyan. So that, says Reb Chaim, the Rambam holds, is considered a shtar min ha-Torah and is kosher min ha-Torah. That's edus b'shtar. What other types of shtar is there? Shtar raya, right. Ava masha nasa rak l'raya, but a shtar that's made just as a raya, as a proof. For example, I lend you money. And then, in order to ensure that I have the ability to collect the money back from you, I write up a document of loan saying, I lend you money, you agree, witnesses, etc. So that document is nothing more than a proof that the loan took place. Or let's say I give you my matana. I hand you my watch, you make a kinyan hagbah on it, it's yours. And then I write up a shtar as a proof that the watch was given to you already. Okay, in those instances, the shtar is not that which is causing the transaction to take effect. The shtar is simply serving as proof to a transaction that already occurred. That's a shtar raya. So then, says Reb Chaim, in that regard, the Rambam says, a shtar raya min ha-Torah is not kosher. That's only kosher midrabanan. Min ha-Torah, a shtar raya, is possible because it's considered edus biksav. And we apply the rule of mipihem velo mipiksavam. That's not valid testimony min ha-Torah. Only midrabanan, we accept even a shtar raya as a valid shtar. Now this is a very, very famous distinction in halacha between shtar raya and shtar kinyan. I think Rabbi Schechter once related a story here from Rabbi Hecht here in the neighborhood. Rabbi Dr. Michael Hecht lives in the neighborhood. So he was a contemporary of Rabbi Schechter at Yeshiva in the Kollel, and Rabbi Hecht then left to go to law school. And after having gone to law school, while he was in law school, he was talking to Rabbi Schechter, and he was saying how he sees, or he saw in law school, how his Gemara learning experience primed him for the concepts that he was dealing with in law school. An example he gave was that the professor in one of his classes posed two different decisions to the class, which he thought were contradictory to one another. And Rabbi Hecht said, no, one's a shtar kinyan, one's a shtar raya. Right? Because he explained it, what he meant by that. But the professor was like, wow, that's brilliant. What an insight. What amazing. The document in this case was only serving as a proof to the transaction that already occurred. And the document in that case was serving as the actual, the means of acquisition. Like he was blown over. Wow, that's a brilliant distinction. And Rabbi Hecht said, it's pretty basic. If you learn there's a chaim, it's shtar kinyan, shtar raya. It's a very basic distinction. So this is a very, very basic yesod in shtaros in general. So chaim says that the Rambam makes that distinction with regard to this Gemara. The Gemara in Gittin, again, Daf Ayin Aleph, says that in general, edus in writing is not acceptable, and yet we know that the Torah does accept edus in the context of a shtar, such as in a get. A written get is acceptable, signed by two edim, according to the Rambam, as proof of a divorce. So Chaim says, the Rambam says, that when does the Gemara say edus biksav min ha-Torah is not acceptable? That's only a shtar raya. That's only a document that's written to prove that a transaction already occurred. That's when we'll say min ha-Torah that doesn't serve as valid proof of transaction. It's edus biksav, it's edus in writing, we don't go for it. Only midrabanan is acceptable. However, the Rambam would agree. The Rambam says that a shtar kinyan, where the document is the means of acquisition, it causes the sale to go through, it causes the matana to be effective, it causes the divorce, it causes the marriage. Then the Rambam agrees that of course, min ha-Torah was never included in this psul of mipihem velo mipiksavam. A shtar kinyan is always acceptable in the Torah because that's not edus biksav, that's edus bishtar. Okay, Reb Chaim says min haTorah, the din shtar is only effective when it's a shtar kinyan. Shtar raya min haTorah is not included in the category of edus bishtar. It's considered edus biksav, and min haTorah it's pasul. But midrabanan, we accept even a shtar raya as proof of a loan, for example, in Beis Din. Okay.
Just like midrabanan, we would do the get in the same thing.
So by get, what do you mean midrabanan by get?
Comparing the two, now the two, but you're saying the shtar, even though the shtar doesn't have, even though the shtar at the end of the day, this last case. Where we say, help me out.
By get, you're asking?
No, I'm comparing the last two cases.
Of shtar raya and shtar kinyan?
Yes, of shtar raya by shtar.
Yeah.
He's saying even midrabanan.
Midrabanan, we have a document that states a loan occurred. We accept the midrabanan, right?
So we would accept it also by getin also.
So by get, where the get...
Rabbanan shtaraya also.
You're saying when I want to prove that a divorce occurred by producing my get? Meaning get we're saying is a shtar kinyan. Because I give the get to my wife to effect a divorce. So a shtar kinyan, Rambam says, even min haTorah works. Or is a document that's used to cause the transaction to be effective. Like a get where the divorce is enacted by the transfer of the document itself, that's a shtar kinyan. That works even min haTorah according to the Rambam. That's and the edim that are signed on it are considered edus shebishtar, and that's valid edus min haTorah. So that's a shtar kinyan. But when I write up a document to simply prove that a transaction already occurred, like a proof of a loan that already occurred, that's a shtar raya, and that only works in midrabanan according to the Rambam.
How does this Reb Chaim still fit in with Eidim Mesira Karsi?
So Eidim Mesira Karsi means that there's a special din in get that Eidim have to witness the divorce taking place. But that doesn't relate to Shtaris.
It seems like it's more of a less of a Kenyan Shtar. I mean, it's almost as like they're testifying.
If you say what?
You say that the Eidei Chasima are the important thing, and it's not. It seems like it's more of a testimony as opposed to the Shtar Kinyan. It's more like a Shtar Raya almost. It's almost as if it's making that they're doing that an act of a Shtar Raya.
So let's figure this out. Meaning, if you hold Eidim as Sira Karsi, that means for a acquisition to be effective, you need Eidim to witness it. Right?
Witness of the giving over of
Of the Shtar. Right, so if you hold Edom Asir Karsi, it means you have to witness. You have to have Edom who witnessed the giving over to make the acquisition effective. So that's perhaps a din that relates to the means to which you can cause a transaction to go through. What the Reb Chaim is saying, according to the Rambam, is that according to the Rambam, who paskins that Edi Chasima alone are also sufficient on a get to make the transaction go through. So he clearly holds that you can have Edom in writing serving as witnesses to a transaction. So that's what Reb Chaim has to say, because Rambam holds that by Shtar Kinyan, Edus Bishtar is valid min haTorah. But not by Shtar Raya. So what do we have to clarify still? Adam?
As I was asking, does this Rambam still work with Edom Mesira Karsi then?
Well, the Rambam said is that min haTorah shtaros do not work. That's all he said, right? So Reb Chaim says that what he meant was that shtaros do not work min haTorah by shtar raya, by shtar kinyan they do.
Right, but here you have edim on the get, but according to the number of edim mesira karsi, they're not the ones that are.
It's
the edim mesira they're doing it.
So according to Reb Elazar, for example, says that when it comes to divorce, the edim who witness in person the transfer of the get are the ones who cause the divorce to go through.
Right.
The edim who are signed on the get, according to Reb Elazar, might simply serve just as backup to prove one day that the get was actually given by the virtue of their signatures on it.
But didn't we say before that if a husband get a signed get, and
it's sufficient,
right?
Yeah, according to the Rambam, it
without,
is. Right.
Without
correct.
Having get a Messiah.
According to the Rambam, it's, according to the Rambam, it's sufficient. Yes. Yeah,
right.
But Rambam passes that that's all you need, you know, by get. As Rambam passes that Eid Hasima would work by, alone by get. So, Chaim was trying to explain how could that be. Meaning, if you hold you always need Eid Mesira, then this is not, then the Eidus that you have here is Eidus in person. Right? The halacha is you have to have witnesses witnessing your divorce, right? So if you hold Edom Mesira Karasi, that means you have Edom in person witnessing the divorce. That's not Edus Bashtar. That's for sure not a problem. That's for sure. That's Edom in person. That's okay for sure, according to everybody. Chaim was only asking, according to the Rambam, who says that you could even have only Edom signed on the Shtar, not Edom in person. So then you have to ask, well, that's Edus in writing. So how's that valid, according to the Rambam, who holds that Edus Bashtar does not work Min HaTorah, that Shtar does not work Min HaTorah? I mean, if you hold Edom Mesira Karasi, it's for sure no problem, because then you have Edom in person, live people. That for sure is good according to everybody. We were only asking, according to the Rambam says that even when there's no Edom in person, just Edom Chasim on the get alone, that's also sufficient. How does that work? Isn't that Shtar, which according to the Rambam doesn't work in the Torah? So the answer is, no, the Rambam only says that Shtar Raya doesn't work in the Torah, but Shtar Kinyan does work in the Torah.
So how do we answer the Gemara in Ayin?
Ein Aleph.
So Cheresh really is okay for...
No. So Elaim is not good for Eidus. The way we're... The Gemara in Ein Aleph we're saying... The Gemara in Ein Aleph which says that Eidus Biksav is not acceptable. Right?
Right.
According to the Rambam, that means testimony in the form of a written statement is not acceptable. And according to the Rambam, it even means that the testimony on a Shtar Raya is not acceptable in the Torah. But Shtar Kinyan, the Rambam says, the Gemara wasn't referring to that when it speaks about Mipihem Lom Piksavim. Mipihem Lom Piksavim refers only to, let's say, someone who's mute, writing a statement and giving it to Beis Din, or it refers to a Shtar Raya that's used as a proof of a transaction having already occurred. But Shtar Kinyan, according to the Rambam, was never the topic of discussion in that Gemara over there. Okay? Okay, so maybe we should stop there, and maybe we'll pursue this a bit further. Hashem, next week. There's just another point to see in the Reb Chaim here, and there's also just a little paragraph in the Imre Moshe, in Simen Tes Zayin Sif Ches, in the Imre Moshe is a Talmud of Reb Chaim. Simon Tes Zayin Sifchas. So we'll look at that. And then, okay, we might look at one other set of Marmakomas. Those I think maybe I'll send out before next week. Anyways, my next week is not, my next week is good. Monday night next week. All right, we should be on next Monday night. Okay, it's next week, Monday night, regular time. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Sorry?
What's the minute mark?